Welcome to Dear Legal Ops, the podcast tackling tough topics impacting today's evolving legal operations profession anonymously.
This podcast is made for and by the Legal Ops community.
We will hear trailblazing tales and lessons learned from seasoned professionals, change makers, and community champions.
Join us as we go on a journey of delightful insights and enthusiastic ideas that will inspire you to find your inner brilliance, personally and professionally. Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Dear Legal Ops. I'm your co-host, Tommy Tavares Ferreira, and today in the studio, we're tackling our symphonic letter from Craig, the consulting composer, who was straight out of New Orleans. We are jazzed to have a very special guest with us today, David Cowan. David's a connector. For more than 20 years, he's connected major players, buyers, and sellers across the legal industry. David founded the Solid Legal Summit, the summit on legal innovation and disruption, as well as creating the Cowan Cafe, Lunch with Cowan, and many years of hosting exclusive breakfasts and dinners that bring together the top minds in the industry. David is positively obsessed with helping legal innovators and mavericks go from now to next. Much like an open jazz session where improvisation leads to the unexpected, we are riffing together here in the studio. That's the vibe today. We are harnessing the power of networking, mentorship, and a splash of creativity to tell you how to transform your career from a predictable path to an exhilarating adventure. So let's dive into the melodies of professional growth with the maestro of connections, David Cowan. But first, grab that glass and get comfy as we dig deeper into Dear Legal Ops. Our letter today comes from the vibrant city of New Orleans, scribbled on the back of a cafe napkin by Craig, the consulting composer. Our listener writes, Dear Legal Ops, I'm a jazz musician by night and a budding legal tech consultant by day, and my life is anything but ordinary. The dynamic rhythms of jazz have taught me that sometimes the most beautiful melodies come from the unexpected twists and turns of improvisation. This philosophy has inspired me to approach my burgeoning career in legal tech with the same sense of flexibility and openness to improvisation. However, embracing a career path that feels more like a jazz composition than a straight march can be daunting. How do I navigate the ebbs and flows of such an unstructured journey without losing my way? How can I apply the principles of harmony, rhythm, and improvisation to build a career that not only advances professionally, but also resonates with my personal values and passions? I am on the lookout for mentors who can guide me through this improvisational dance, fostering connections that encourage both creativity and growth. Where do I begin on this journey to syncopate my professional aspirations with the unique beat of my own drum? In the studio with us today, David Cowan. Tom, can we welcome David in? Warm welcome. Oh,
I am so excited from the Cowan Cafe to just years of being a mentor in the profession and personally to Tommy and I. We are thrilled to have you in the DLO studio today.
So it's Tommy and Tommy. It's David, Tommy, and Tommy. It's what a trio.
And to
the letter, I mean, it's a trio, it's jazz, it's music. We've got a little theme going here today. I like it because isn't that really what Clock and CGI and Legal Ops is all about?
There's a
trio and Solid. Thank you so much. I mean, it is about working together. It is about community and it is about that growth that we get with one another and learning from one another. So to your writer with the drum, he needs to find a tambourine.
What do we tell Craig? So he clearly is looking for a community, he's looking for connections, maybe even possibly a mentor. Where does he start? What does he do?
There's so many different ways to go about it, but I'll just, I'll start with one of several options that one might have if you're looking for, a mentor. It really starts with advisors and sponsors. You don't necessarily start with a mentor. So it is a bit of a progression. One of the easiest ways to do it, or one of the best ways, in my opinion, is to attend, some kind of a local chapter meeting of Clock, or going to Solid, or Clock or ILTA or LegalWeek. And my pro tip, maybe you're an introvert or an extrovert, it's thank the speakers. The quickest and easiest way is to just put out your hand, say hello, thank the speaker in the session and say, my name is David Cowan. I really enjoyed your session. I'd love to follow up with a virtual cup of coffee on this topic. Would you be okay with that? And this is how you begin to build relationships with those that are senior to you. Chances are, if you're speaking, you've got 3 or 5 or 10 years or more of experience. At CGI and at Clock, what I like so much is the workshop the day before the kickoff. And you can meet people. So if you're new and you're looking to build this community, there's no place better than that workshop the day before, which, Tommy, remind me, is it 2 hours or 4 hours? It's a half a day?
It's 4 hours. Thank you for mentioning that, David. I happen to be doing that 101 this year, and it is the Monday before it begins. And Tom is actually one of the creators of it. And so we've each had our experience in doing it. And if you are new to Legal Ops or you just need a refresher, that is a great place to go to start building connections. And Tom, you're a VP of community. What do you have to say about the value of building those relationships?
David, before we kind of get into CGI, Legal Ops 101, Clock, I think what I would love to know, and I think a lot of our listeners also want to know, for those who don't know the David Cowan of Cowan Cafe, of where you are and really being a beacon. And of, I personally will tell my story of when I was entering the Legal Ops community and when I was finding my own voice within this profession, something that resonated with me and hit me like a ton of bricks was attending these community conversations where you're sharing who you are, what you're doing, and talking about topics that while maybe related to what you're doing from 9 to 5, more often than not, it's bridging the connections from 5 to 9 to allow you to say, hey, this is someone that I not only resonate with, but somebody that I can connect with. And that allows those walls to come down and really fosters more of that collaborative spirit. So in the nature of our jazzy writer here, tell our listeners how you got into being this community connector over the years, for those who have not heard your story.
Thank you, Tom. I grew up in the staffing and recruiting business. I grew up placing, you know, what were at the time legal secretaries and then administrative assistants and moved into IT and then legal IT and .com, and one thing led to another. And I found myself in the e-discovery space in 2004 and, you know, really have been riding that literally for 20 years now. And so I got to know, I placed most of the top lit support, firm-wide directors of lit support and e-discovery from 2004, 6, 8, 10, and 12. And so I met a lot of people over a short period of time because there was such demand for talent. So I really got to understand the marketplace and got to know a lot of people. And wound up moving into community building and doing a series of breakfasts and then a series of dinners and then a series of events, and then knew enough people and read a book that I highly recommend called Never Eat Alone by Keith Ferrazzi. And if you're in staffing and recruiting, you know, your Rolodex, if you will, your network is yours. That's how you earn a living and you never give that away, right? Keith Ferrazzi's whole philosophy was the more you give away, the more will boomerang back to you. And I took a leap of faith after reading that book and then started to do breakfasts and dinners, and everybody I knew I invited. And then, of course, they brought somebody who brought somebody. And instead of knowing, let's say, 1,000 people, all of a sudden I knew 4,000 people. And then I wound up in the community building business and the events business and the networking business. And so that's really how I got my start and love that. I mean, it, you know, staffing and recruiting is a great business. I recommend it highly to those of you that are extroverts and love connecting with people, and it's very satisfying, but you do, you know, it does have a little bit of a career expiration date where you want to pivot.
David, dare I say, it's the compound interest of community, right? Like the compound interest of those relationships. You have such an impressive career. And here's something that really impresses me about you. And I tell you this every time I see you, and I'll continue to tell you. Not only do you know who people are and you really remember who they are and you remember something very special about them, but you remember them so much so that you know how to connect people. Like when you and I started talking a couple of years ago, I was very interested in seeing where the chief of staff role was going to go. And you said, you know, you called me one day and said, chief of staff, I remember you. That's the thing that's of interest to you. Here are four people I want you to go talk to, right? And so just being a connector. And I think that's something that Craig can use as he's out there trying to figure out not only how he builds community, but how he looks to people, right, for mentoring. It's also remembering what's special about people and remembering what is unique about them, because people like to be liked. And so if you are remembering things about people, they're going to remember, you know, things that are special about you. And that's something we can also tell Craig, not only to be interested, but to be interesting, right? Like be interested in you and what you're doing. And like you always talk about from now to next, like how are they going from now to next? It will help Craig to figure out like how he's going from now to next, but it's to be interested in other people as well.
The great book on that, and again, this is a book that I read early on in my career that was very influential and I recommend highly no matter where you are in your career, is Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is all about being interested in the other person and they'll be interested back in you. But I will say this, you know, if you are going to conferences or you are going to local, community, regional events of one kind or another, or you're on the phone on a Zoom call, I have a stack of index cards with me all the time. I write people's names down. So when I go to a conference, and you know, Legal Week was the first conference I went to in 2004, I would go back to my room at 11 or 11:30, whatever time it was, and I would write down the names of everybody I met that I could remember during the course of the day. And today, all you have to do is snap a picture of their badge, right? So yeah. If you meet somebody, snap a photo of their badge and of who they are and just sort of go back before you go to bed at night, not in the morning, because you never do it in the morning. You're always rushing in the morning. You do it before you go to bed. And that just helps you remember people's names. People go, oh, I don't have a good memory. That may be true, but you can have one. You just have to work at it a little bit.
And I have taken that advice in my own career over time. And now being in a community-driven role for Legal.io, it's also one of the things that I do too, whether it's going to a conference, whether you're sitting down and having dinner with a group of people, right? I'm always trying to say, I don't want this out of my brain, right? Because it's fresh, it's right there, it's impactful. And you have the best muscle memory to be able to map those connections. And I think that's where it's really, really pivotal and important for our listeners to understand that not everybody comes out of the gate as an extrovert, right? Not everybody comes out of the gate as a community connector. It does. It is a memory muscle that needs trained. So with that being said, in this jazz orchestration, how did you get into this mapping and figuring out how to connect the dots when you meet people? Because oftentimes in the corporate space and specifically in legal operations, it's just putting on that different hat of working cross-functionally and collaboratively with different departments and having to understand the pieces that are on the chessboard. It really does drive the successes in your career. So how have you been able to use this mind mapping experimentation and apply it in your own day-to-day?
Again, it goes back to a book, Tom. It's a great question. I read a book on mind mapping and realized that my brain works that way. My brain doesn't work in a linear way. I'm not very good with outlines. I didn't, you know, if it was something in school where you had to do an outline and then an outline within an outline, like that didn't make a lot of sense to me. My brain worked more in a circular flow. And so mind mapping and putting things down, you know, and learning how to do that became very natural to me. And then I can see the connections. Like I see how people, like when you say, Tommy, you connect people, it's like, it's easy. It would be really hard if it were linear because I'd have to get all the way down to the bottom and go all the way to the top. But if you see it more as a, you know, a space field or a star field of people, it just was easier and made sense. So I sit down in the morning. I mean, I sit down literally every morning, six mornings a week and do some kind of a mind map. I have no idea what's going to go on the paper. None. And it just flows.
Can you tell our listeners, what is a mind map? Like, what do you do with that blank piece of paper that you start with?
You mull. You really just sort of mull on it and you think on it. And, you know, if you do that, you know, 300 days a year, it begins to take form. You know, I mean, there's books on it and methodology on it. And I don't want to overwhelm anybody, but if you just, everybody makes a to-do list, but instead of making it linear, if you put the to-do list in quadrants, you know, on the upper left-hand quadrant is important, but the upper right-hand quadrant is more important than the bottom right-hand corner, all the little things. And the bottom left, like if you get to it, you get to it. And if you don't, you don't. You know, some people like it vertical, some people like it horizontal. You know, I like it in a mind map, which is, you know, kind of like a flower. If you imagine a flower and circles and circles, you can draw lines out from that. So it's incredibly, if you struggle with remembering things, this becomes a very easy way to visualize your life, your day, your week.
This episode is made possible by our sponsor, Legal.io. Legal.io is the fastest growing community and marketplace for legal talent. Legal.io connects legal professionals to resources and opportunities at the world's leading in-house departments and firms. Legal.io is the launchpad for legal careers, matching legal ops professionals, attorneys, paralegals, and so many other legal professionals at some of the world's most exciting companies, with a level of precision that only a data-driven, vertical-specific marketplace can provide. Supported by significant investors like Tiger Global, Legal.io is redefining the legal workspace. If you want to learn about the enterprise marketplace solution for legal talent, access salary surveys with compensation data as unique as you, and join their vibrant in-house legal community, visit www.legal.io. That's LEGAL.io. Legal.io. Your gateway to a global legal talent marketplace designed with the legal operations community in mind.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
David, thank you so much. And that reminds me, Tom, you and I need to hole up in a conference room with a blank whiteboard and just start mind mapping away some of our ideas, right? That sounds like such a fun exercise. And that's great advice for people, because a lot of people that we talk to, they're all saying, I'm tired, I'm burnt out, I'm looking for the next best thing. And they're trying to figure out methodologies for how do I get from now to next, if I may borrow a Cowanism. And mind mapping, absolutely one of those exercises you can give them. But we're thinking about, you know, the concert of someone's lives and all of the hits they might have throughout a career. What kind of advice do you give to someone who goes, I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing next. And, you know, I'll take this mind mapping exercise. Maybe I'll do that. How does someone get ideas to come to them? Like, what do they do? How do you tell people to go from now to next?
You watch people that are ahead of you. You know, it depends where. So if you're in the first 5 years of your career, that's one thing. If you're in year 40 of your career, that's another. But if you're at the beginning of the beginning, you know, whether you're a tennis player or an ice skater or a volleyball player or a baseball player, you watch. You're never out of high school, right? Or junior high. So in junior high school, you watch the high school kids. In high school, you watch the college kids. In college, you watch the pros. If you're trying to move in that direction, just to use a sport analogy, I think it's the same thing in legal. You know, I think that's one of the reasons it's so important to be in the office. You know, I'm a big fan of being in the office. Fine, 3 days a week, but at least 3 days a week, because there's proximity bias and there's proximity knowledge transfer. And, you know, Tommy, I have to say that if I worked with you, I'd want to be as close to you as I possibly could to go like, how does she do that? Like, just like you're looking to go, how do you do that? And, you know, and you're 20 years into your career, you're looking at the general counsel, like, how do they do that? And how do the business unit operators work? Like, I want to be as close to them as I can. And I want to watch batting practice. You know, yeah. I want to watch these pros, whatever they may be, whatever your sport is. I want to watch them. And I think that's how you do it, really. Like, if you don't know, that's okay. Go watch the pros play. And the pro can just be like your peer and colleague at your level. So it doesn't have to be, you know, you have to be striving here 2 and 3 levels up. No pressure, no professional anxiety intended here, everybody. Just go watch somebody else play or play with somebody else. And one thing will lead to another. But whatever you do, don't do it alone. Like, don't sit alone in your room and try to figure it out.
I love what you said about not knowing, because in our most recent episode, episode 41, we had Grace Mettinger on our episode, and she was explaining that Kirk Douglas gave her that exact same advice when she was working for him. And as she was trying to look for career advice, as she was trying to find her tribe, as she was looking to fill the 4 people that are sitting with her at the table, she said that was one of the most impactful things that someone had ever told her in her career when it comes to advice is, you may not know, right? But not knowing is not necessarily an evil as some people look at it in their own view, right? They may look at it as though they might not be a subject matter expert, or they may look at it as though that they may be not at the same level as their peers, when quite frankly, you can levitate that way and rise up to the occasion by saying, not only do I not know, but I want to learn, I want to educate myself. And in doing so, you really see that metamorphosis along your career. And so not every song is really a top hit. And I think that when your career does have those moments where you may not know, or as Tommy was saying earlier, when you're kind of trying to figure out what's next and you're burned out, you won't have a hit every time, but that doesn't mean that your album isn't still going to be gold certified platinum. And so how did you become comfortable knowing your limits to not compare yourself to anyone else by really trying to find the best David that there is today?
That's a great question. I'm going to come back to that in a second, because I just want to stay where you were about with hits for a minute, and then I'll come back to that. If you're looking for a masterclass on imposter syndrome and figuring it out, not knowing the answer, then the Get Back series on the Beatles is as good as anything I've ever seen. So here's Paul and John and Ringo and George, and they're sitting around and like, they're riffing. They don't have this song. They've just got an idea, and it's like it doesn't go anywhere, and then it kind of comes together, and then they kind of work together, and next thing you know, they've got Let It Be. I mean, are you kidding me? I had no idea. I thought it was like with all kind of formed in their heads, and they went into the studio, and they just had to polish it. I mean, there's nothing there except a couple of chords or like one line or a newspaper article. Like, to watch them create from nothing gave me a lot of confidence, which is, I think, kind of the question you're asking. It's like, how'd you get there? It's like, you know, that's how I learned to trust my talent, which is like, I had a little bit of success and then I was like, okay, not knowing. Because I knew that I don't know yet. I don't know yet what that is. I'm going to call Tommy. Tommy, if you were me, what would you do? Tom, if you were me, what would you do? Like, I would just keep asking people that question, which turned out to be a very powerful little magical pro tip kind of question, which is, if you don't know, go to people you do know and say, can I ask you a question? Tommy, I really want to do a podcast. I don't know how to do a podcast. If you were me, like, what equipment do I need? And like, how do I do this? And you literally jumped into, this is a real story now, right?
Would order it from Amazon for you and send it to you.
I'll like totally come out to San Francisco and do podcasts and I'll show you how to do it. And I'm like, it's really, that's that easy? Yeah, yeah, David, I got this. And the next thing you know, you've got 2 microphones and a Zoom, you know, recorder and 4 AA batteries. And I'm like, that's it. And you're like, that's it. And you know, I now have 212 podcasts in the can.
But, and David, you so naturally pivoted to what I wanted to ask next, which is, what's the importance of a core 4? Because we were stacking here, right? We started with, why is it important to build community? And next it's, what do you do when you don't know something? You go out to folks and you ask them. I don't know, as we learned on that episode with Grace, is a perfectly reasonable response. And then how do you find out? You build trusted advisors. David, you talk a lot about your core 4. Can you tell Craig and our audience what that is? How do you nurture it and why is it important?
If you take a circle and you divide it into 4 pizza pie slices, right? I would just simply say, who are the core 4 people? Start right now, because everyone has a core 4. And put the 4 people that you have in your life right now. They could be internal to your organization, they could be in your life, but I believe in an internal core 4 and an external core 4. So wherever you work right now, or professionally, who are the core four people that are most important to you that you could seek advice from? 1, 2, 3, 4. Great. Now level up. Now your job is to be leveling that up as you go along in your career. But those core four people are who you go to, and it could be 8 and 10 as life goes on and careers go on. But your core four are the innermost circle of people that you go to. And when you have a challenge and you're not sure about something, that's who you're picking up the phone and saying, Tommy, I've got a question. Like, I don't really understand this whole e-billing thing, right? Or I don't know how to get a raise. I'm getting really stuck here. You know, the GC is new. I think I'm on the outs. I don't think I'm on the ins. Like, if you were me, what would you do? Tell me, what do you think? And then with your core four, the piece of this is like, you know, take what you want and leave the rest. If I don't like your advice, I have three more people. You know, it's kind of like going to the doctor. I'm going to get a second opinion. If you were me though, what would you do? So that's your core four is constant and expanding in your career. And you've got to think of your career. You've got 20 years. Everybody who's listening to this podcast has got 20 years to go, maybe 30.
So I'll put you both on the spot. Who are your core four? Who are your core four today?
Well, I'm looking at 50% of them right now on the screen. And then one within my organization, and then one outside of the organization, right? And then, of course, I have core four friends, and they cycle. Like, if you would have asked me that question 2 years ago when I was really building a relationship with Jen McCarron, I would have said, Jen McCarron, immediately, right? Like, I aspire to do certain things that Jen is doing, right? But it evolves as you sort of need different things and you're moving into different roles. And also, to David's point, depending on what the problem is, I might have a core four that's just for legal tech, but I might have a core four that's for emotional intelligence or EQ, IQ, like things that people have different specialties in. But I think it's ever evolving, as it should be, because if you're growing as a person, you can ebb and flow and outgrow people and bring them back. And I think that a little bit of that change helps you grow.
I don't think you could say that any better. I mean, it is constantly evolving, you know, and to answer the question, I mean, my core four ebbs and flows, and it depends on the particular specific topic. I've got a strategic, big thinking, you know, where is the Cowan Group going, core four. I've got a day-to-day operational core four. I've got, you know, emotionally, I don't feel it today. Like, you know, what do you think? And that emotional, by the way, is I'm not comfortable today is like the most natural thing. If you listen to whether it's Taylor Swift, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, I mean, read about any of these guys, they have all had these periods of like discomfort. And I don't want to call it imposter syndrome, but like, I don't really know what I'm doing. If everybody feels from time to time like they don't know what they're doing. So who's around you that's going to lift you and have your back and just remind you? Tommy does that for me as part of my core four. Like, Tommy will go like, no, David, you're going to be great at this. She sees things in me that I miss regularly. Like, I have a blind spot about like what I'm good at. And Tommy will be like, no, you're really good at this. And I have some other people that support me that way. So that core four is critical. And in my strategic world, you know, it's Keith Lieberman and Greg Mazaris and Mark Chardak and Rich Kellner. And Abby is one of my core four. I mean, those of you who know me know Abby Rosenblum. And she's absolutely one of my core four. And she disagrees with me a ton, which is why she's critical. Core four is not there to say yes. Core four is to challenge you as well and go, that's not a good idea. And if you know Abby, you know she says that to me a lot. That's not a good idea.
I want people to hear that nugget because ultimately the core four, you have to stay in tune with the changes, right? You have to be able to pivot when needed. And sometimes you're leading, right? Or sometimes you are setting a new direction by finding someone that will push that boundary for you. And ultimately, now that we're kind of getting the red light from red in our studio, I think this is a really good time, David, to pick back up this letter and be able to dive into Craig and his understanding of how am I finding the mentorship? How am I being able to find my own rhythm and improvise as you're building a career, knowing that the melody itself isn't always right in front of you. Sometimes you have to do a little Beatle creativity to get that number one hit. So in our final thought here, what advice would you give Craig, the consulting composer, on figuring out how to scribble in the back of his Cowan Cafe to syncopate his professional aspirations to the beat of his own drum.
Say hello. You know, say hello on LinkedIn. So if you don't have the budget and the resources to go out and get out there and shake hands and be live, one of the best ways, again, this is not an overnight thing. This is not take two, call me in the morning. This is get on LinkedIn, start following people, comment. If you comment on what I'm writing, or if you comment on what you're writing, or Tommy's writing, or Jen McCarron's writing, or Farrah Pepper is writing, or Mary O'Connell is writing, I mean, these are people you want to be connected with. So if you're looking for a core four, get on LinkedIn, start connecting with people, start liking what they're posting, follow the leaders in the industry, and say, I really like what you wrote. Like, you've got to be genuine. Tommy, I really love what you wrote the other day about dot, dot, dot. Do you have time for a virtual cup of coffee? Now, you might want to like a couple of things first before you ask anybody out on a date. So, you know, same rules sort of apply. But if you're serious about your career and you're serious about building a network and you're serious about building a life and a, you know, a career that has that kind of mobility to it, then take your time and seek out the right people.
Yes. And letting someone know if you are asking for that coffee, sort of why you're asking. I had someone recently who was chasing me down for a cup of coffee, but I didn't actually know why, right? Like, I was like, do they want to be on the podcast? Do they, like, what do they want to talk about legal ops? Are they new to it? Like, I actually couldn't figure it out. I finally had to say, hey, like, let's do a little bit of a scoping call, because I always do these calls. I'll do the calls, the Zooms, the coffees. But I think helping someone to know, like, what are you reaching out for? You don't have to be opaque about that. I think letting someone know what the end game is really helpful for everyone. So, David, what a pleasure it is to have you in this studio talking about building relationships, the ebb and flows of career, creativity, adaptability. We even dipped into imposter syndrome, which is mine and Tom's favorite subject. Craig, there is a wealth of information for you here, learning from one of the absolute best, David Cowan. David, thank you so much for being here today.
You're very welcome. Final thought, you couldn't be, if you're listening to this podcast, you couldn't be in a better place at a better time. This is once in a generation as AI and next-gen technology come into our space and other spaces. Embrace it with both hands. Grab with both hands right now and have fun and be undeterred.
Love it. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tommy.
In today's episode with David Cowan, we've jazzed through the nuances of networking, mentorship, and career improvisation. David's insights remind us that our professional journeys can be as dynamic and enriching as a jazz ensemble, full of unexpected solos and harmonies that propel us forward in the legal tech landscape. Embracing all that David instilled in us today, let's venture into our roles with the spirit of a jazz musician, ready to improvise, connect, and create impactful melodies in the world of legal ops. Today's conversation with David has been a testament to the power of building relationships and navigating the ebb and flow of careers with creativity and adaptability. As we wrap up, remember that in the grand ensemble of legal ops, our individual contributions create a symphony of progress. Let the rhythm of today's insights inspire you to explore new avenues and partnerships. Until next time, legal ops rock stars, keep harmonizing your professional endeavors with innovation and curiosity. Here's to the next note in our collective journey, where every connection, every mentorship leads to new heights. May your career continue to resonate with the vibrant notes of growth and creativity. For more Dear Legal Ops content, make sure to follow us on all social media using the handle @DearLegalOps.
Have a tough legal ops topic you want us to tackle? Submit a letter and share your stories with us at DearLegalOps.com/submit for a chance to be featured on the show.
Like what you hear? Go ahead and leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening.
As always, I'm your host, Tom Stevenson, adding a splash of color to the lively landscape that is legal operations.
And I'm Tommy Tavares Pereira, your voice of reason amidst the whirlwind of change. keeping it real and relatable.
Dear Legal Ops is produced by Red Rock Music.
Until next time.